If you will, please turn in your Bibles to Leviticus in chapter 16. I would like to notice with you some principles for progress for believers. And I have a very bad habit. Some people call it bad, but I don't think it is because I keep doing it. And that is, I like to talk to the young people. So I'm going to address most of my thoughts for those who are young in the faith, young in experience. And, of course, that you'll be included in that if you're less than 85 years old. So that'll help get everyone into it if we can. I want to notice five double types. When God uses a type in the Old Testament, a picture, it is never a complete illustration or never a complete detail concerning the reality. But God will put more than one together very often, sometimes two, sometimes even three. And the Lord Jesus did that when he was teaching in parables, sometimes two of them together, sometimes three together, as he was developing truth. So I want to notice with you a few principles as we see them in these double types that I wish to notice just for a little while this afternoon. The first one, I'll mention them to you now, and as we read, you will recognize them. Two goats. God is going to have before us two goats. And the great truth of salvation and its purpose. And the next one we're going to notice in chapter 14 are two birds. And it is sanctification. The sanctification of the leper in after his cleansing. Then we're going to come to two bodies of water. And it's stewardship that's in view in those two bodies of water. And you can see there's progress. There's salvation. There's sanctification. There's stewardship. God is teaching us. And then we have two pillars that are going to be raised. And that is, of course, the securing and of a testimony for God in the land. And as well, we have two breads that are mentioned for God's people. And they're both put together in one verse. And that's two sustenances for two different areas of experience in our life. So may the Lord very graciously help us as we look at them. And I say for those who are young sisters and younger brethren, I hope that it will be a help to you to see that there is a pattern in divine purpose in your salvation. And God portrays it for us in the Old Testament. Now, you all are very much aware that I am a very simple person. That is why I like illustrations. And the Old Testament is full of illustrations, which are very, very instructive, but they're very commanding. I like to look at them, and I hope the illustrations will be helpful. Leviticus chapter 16, please, and we will read at verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Now we will look down a little further, please, down to verse 18, and he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place in the tabernacle of the congregation in the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And if I was standing by there, I'd be shouting, hallelujah. The goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now please, chapter 14. And we'll commence our reading at verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed of leprosy two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed, in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Now just a few more verses in this chapter, please. I want you to notice verse 12. The priest shall take one he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that's in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Now, Exodus, please, chapter 13. And we will read, please, at verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them, not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now look further down, please, at the next chapter and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And we will look down to verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now for the other body of water, we must turn to the book of Joshua, please, chapter 3. We will just read at verse 17 of Joshua chapter 3. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now in chapter 4, we will read, please, at verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. Now, please, for our final reading together in the fifth chapter, and we will look at verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jordan. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. May the Lord very graciously bless our reading of his word and help us to learn and to be touched by some of the teaching that we see in these passages. The first one that we're looking at, of course, in regard to the two goats, is the basis of our salvation. And in the basis of salvation, God is bringing two thoughts before us that are going to characterize our attitude as a redeemed people. Because after the Day of Atonement, the people went back to their places. They had, a lot of them came up. All the males have to come away up there to Jerusalem. It was a great day of excitement, one day a festival of the year, but it was the day that would equate to the day of our salvation, the atoning work of the Lord Jesus and for our salvation. And the two things that he's going to establish, the one is relation to God, and the other is in relation to the sinner, to the people. And that relationship is going to characterize who they are by identity. And brethren and sisters, that's really one of the great purposes of God having reached me and saved me. He has brought me into a sphere of creation through redemption that is a totally different element in this world that was never seen before. That's amazing. In fact, when he's writing to the Ephesian believers, he's calling it, we who are members of the body of Christ, as God's ultimate creation. I love it. It's marvelous that I'm a part of it, and I'd like to be an honor to it. And that's what he's going to deal with first of all. So the first thing that we're looking at is a goat that was slain, and its blood was brought by the high priest inside the veil. I like this. When I see that high priest as he sprinkles that blood before the ark and on top of that mercy seat, God calls that mercy seat the throne. And he says, and from that throne, I will communicate to you. And through Moses, and of course, through the teachings of Aaron, that's how God communicated to them. But those people had absolutely no standing before that throne without that blood. So that is the assurance in our salvation, that we have an acceptance with God through the blood. Now, brethren and sisters, that's a unique thing, because there are many things that pretend to be prayer and pretend to be an acceptance with God in our world. But the believer has a link with the throne of God. And God wants me to be characterized by that character, that we not only have a relationship of life, but we have a link with the throne. Because the throne is the area from which the destiny of all things is determined. The man upon the throne and those cherubims that covered that throne, looking down upon the blood, upon the throne. And from that throne, the revelation of God was given to his people. And young brother and your young sister, you have a link with that throne 24/7. Never a moment when you are not related to the throne of God, determining the purpose for your salvation and determining the destiny of your testimony. That's why it's identity that's with these people. These people, even Balaam had to realize, as he saw the order of the camp of Israel, all so orderly, around what? Around the throne. That was their relationship. It governed them. It was that which gave to them an identity in the wilderness. And the nations around stood in awe. Even old Balaam says, I can't curse that people. Why, that's a people that have a link with God. So dear young man and dear younger sister, you have an identity in our world because you are linked with the throne. Therefore, God is going to proceed from that. He's going to develop from that the character of testimony that should be seen by those who are linked with the throne. The other one is for the people, and that's the little goat. I love it. I love both of these goats. It's marvelous. I sometimes wonder when I think of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, by virtue of his own shed blood, he entered through the heavens to the right hand of the majesty on high. My forerunner, he's the guarantee that I'm going to be there, brethren. He's your guarantee because you are related to him who fills the throne above and fills it without wrong. But on the other hand, I see that little goat. And the high priest has laid his hands upon his head, confessed upon it the uncleannesses of the people. Now, mind you, when you think of possibly 2 million people and all the streets, all the areas, all the places where they would be living, that little goat is making his way. Somehow, I don't know what kind of a pattern the man led that little goat. But every man that looked upon that little goat, as he's being taken away by the hands of a clean man outside, he can see there, my iniquities are taken away. Into an uninhabited place, no relationship with them now. And again, that's going to characterize their identity. It's an appreciation of the fact that I have been not only accepted with the throne, but I have been separated from the history of my sin. And God wants us to be a testimony and an identity in our world with that characteristic. Now that takes us to the second one, and I will have to be a little more brief with the rest of these, but that is the foundation giving identity to you as a saved person. Linked with the throne, separated from history. And now God has a people that he is going to be able to communicate with and through them to show the nations there is a living God. And he is the God of this people. I want my little life to be a monument to the blessed fact there is a living God. And I tell you, dear brethren and dear sisters, that is one of the highest honors that you could have in our world. You may reach, and you should strive at least, to have a position where you can look after your family and your responsibilities, which you will take on. But let me tell you, the highest dignity of your life is to be a testimony for the living God of heaven who has brought you through the blood, and by that little goat taking the iniquities away, he has brought you as an identity of testimony for him in this world. Now, in the next one, it's pictured as a leper. And the leper is being cleansed. It's sanctification for worship. This is a beautiful thing. You know, this leper could never come to the tabernacle. Never could have come to the tabernacle for worship. He had to stay outside. He lived outside where the lepers lived. He could never offer a lamb. He could never bring the ingredients for the incense. He could never come to a priest and give us his portion, his tithing. Couldn't do it. He was a leper. But oh, what a change. God says, here's the cleansing of this leper that has been healed only by divine power and by divine purpose. The leper is healed. And where does he go for cleansing? He didn't send him to a doctor. Strange. He sent him to a priest. Why did he send him to a priest? Because he's going to get the word of God about his standing as a cleansed leper. And that's the most important thing for your little experience and mine now that I am saved. What does God say is the portion that is mine in cleansing, even as it's pictured here? Two little birds. Undoubtedly, probably just little sparrows. They weren't doves or pigeons, or that would have been designated. Just probably two little old sparrows, or maybe two little old cracklings or somebody. Anyway, two little birds are taken, and one is slain. And the other little bird is dipped into that blood. But the blood of that slain bird is sprinkled upon the leper. And then the other birds let loose back into the field, into the air from whence it came. And the next thing that happened is there's a lamb being put into the hand of that cleansed leper. So let's just look at that picture. This is what happened the day you got saved. This is what happened the day I got saved. No, I didn't realize it. But I rejoice in it as I see it in the Word of God. A cleansed leper. The blood was sprinkled upon him. It was put upon his ear. It was put on his thumb. It was put on his toe. And then the priest went and put oil on top of the blood on his ear, on his thumb, and on his toe, and poured the rest on his head. What is God telling this leper? This is the first day that this leper is now going to be able to worship. And he's put a lamb in his hand. So let's take a little look at these two living birds, first of all. They're picturing for us the person of our Lord Jesus. And the one that died, of course, we're looking to Calvary, beloved. We're looking to Calvary. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Shed on Calvary. The other little living bird, after the blood has been put upon that cleansed leper, he's let loose into the heavens. I love that. That's my blessed Lord in triumphant resurrection and ascension. He ascends back where he came from. Gone back into the glory is my blessed Lord. And that is the security of that leper as a worshiper, because that's the first thing that's going to be put into his hand. Do you remember the day that you received Christ as your Savior? Happy day, wasn't it? You know, I was a boy when I got saved. But you know, the very first thing that happened, it wasn't because of intelligence. The first thing that happened, I was sitting on the side of the bed. And I saw it right away. Christ died for the ungodly. Why, that's my salvation. I'm saved. Jesus did it all. What do you think I did next? I went down to my knees at the side of the bed. I don't know. I have no idea what I said. I have no idea. But I had a lamb in my hand. God had put his blessed Son into my hand as a worshiper. Young sister, be a student of the Lord Jesus as your lamb It's most interesting, the things in the Old Testament that God touches on about the lamb, different parts of the lamb. And when he touches on the different parts of the lamb, its legs, his face, his backbone, and he speaks of his fat. When you're looking at those things, God is directing your attention to see virtues and beauties that he appreciated in the Lord Jesus. And now he's in my hand. He wants me to learn to appreciate them. Be students of the person of the Lord Jesus. Take time to write notes as you read through the scriptures and you're looking at the Lamb of God. Looking at the Lamb that Abraham saw when he looked back, who took Isaac's place. Beautiful pictures. The first day, he's a worshiper. Now when he put the blood on his ear and his thumb and his toe and then the oil on top of it, it's very interesting because there, that's three spheres of liberty that a worshiper has. The ear, of course, is his mind. And the thumb, of course, is the hand that's going to bring things to God. He's not only just going to handle a lamb, he's going to bring vows of offering. It's that young man by his bedside. And he's been reading his Bible. Or that dear sister, as she is by her bedside, been reading about her Lord and what happens. Oh Lord, help me to be a testimony today. I bow me to thy will, O God, and all thy ways adore. That's the lamb. And that's the blood that's upon the ear and the hand and the foot of that cleansed leper. Because the hand is going to bring to God, and God requires clean hands. The foot, for the first time on the next Sabbath, that man is going to make his way down to the tabernacle, step inside the door, and face to face with the altar, face to face with the laver. And he's looking at that beautiful door that goes into the holy place. His feet are intended to be committed as a worshiper. His hands committed to the service of worship. His mind committed to the understanding of worship. Let me give you the illustration of it from Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is speaking about the gospel as it is put into his hands to give to the Gentiles. And this is what he says, I bow my knee. Down on his knees, the Apostle Paul. What's he down there for? Praising God that he has the holy honor of presenting Christ to the Gentiles. That's the ear. He says, oh, I would that you could get to understand the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the mystery, the beauty of the church of Christ. And then he says, and to know the love of God which passeth all understanding. That's the ear, that's the hand, and that's the foot. And the oil being put on top of it is that of the sealing of the Spirit of God. And the idea of the sealing there is it links, the Spirit of God is linked with your conversion. You are inhabited by a divine person. And you and I are to be sensitive to him, because that which we have experienced in conversion, like this leper, he agrees with, is in fellowship with, and wants us to keep a sensitive touch and fellowship with him as well. Let me go faster here. Then notice the next one, if you will, please. But I must mention this. He poured the rest of the oil on his head. I like that. You know what that means? Total commitment. Young brother, when God saved your soul, he did not save you for part-time. He did not save me for part-time. He says, you're mine always. I want to use you. You likewise, dear sisters, it's not part-time. That oil on your head says, all for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. God is my witness today as I speak to you. I say from the bottom of my heart again, all for Jesus. He is worth everything. He is the one who has made me his own, linked me with the throne, separated me from my history, put a lamb in my hand. He's touched my ear, my thumb, my foot, and he pours the oil upon my head. It's all for him. From there, we look at the next one where we have two seas, two bodies of water. Now God's got bringing them into a stewardship. He's going to trust them. He's going to trust them with an inheritance. Interestingly, the first one, of course, it requires the two to show to us the truth that's connected with the inheritance is linked with the character of our separation. He brought them out of Egypt. And he says, I want you to take a look back at Egypt. Now I've got you out of there. And you too, dear brother and dear sister, you don't belong to Egypt anymore. You're not a slave in Egypt anymore. But God says, turn around and have a look at it, will you? The first thing you're going to see is, I can't go back because the Red Sea has come back again. We can't go back. No, brethren, you'll never go back. Never go back. The only thing they brought with them out of Egypt, two things rather, but one thing they brought with them out of Egypt, memories. And brethren, we all have memories of things that the flesh desired and tasted and enjoyed before we were saved. I was saved as a boy, so I didn't get into drinking and smoking and all that kind of nonsense and racket. But I was unsaved, had my own will, had my own sentiments. I'm very, very sad to say, there were times I wish I didn't have to go to a meeting. I don't know about you, but I sure needed to be saved. But whatever it may be, God says, take a look back there and I want you to see something. See those people that kept you in captivity? You're separated from them forever. Don't ever bow to them again. That's the first thing. Because that what they had there was slavery and owned nothing. Nothing. Now he says, I'm going to bring you into a land. And he's going to say three things to them about this land. It's a stewardship. He says, wherever you put your foot on it, it's yours. He said, now you protect it, cultivate it, and possess it. Those three things. That's what he told them to do. Now, dearly beloved, younger ones and older ones, again, we have an inheritance. The Apostle Paul loves to call it the heavenlies in the Epistle to the Ephesians. And when he turns to the Colossian Epistle, he's speaking about it in relation to the person in the heavenlies. The greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus, chapter 1, the preeminent one. And in chapter 2, the triumphant one. And in chapter 3, the glorified one. And each of those chapters, we are linked with that person. That's our inheritance. And again, dearly beloved, each of us who are saved by the grace of God, let's take some land in our inheritance. That's not only learning to study your Bible, but it's learning to step out upon it. That's gaining the ground. Whether it be in testimony verbally or whether it be by your appearance. And let me say this, particularly to younger sisters and younger brethren. It's not brethrenism that dictates how you look. It's who you are. That's why Paul says, modest. That's why he says, shamefastness. That's why he says, simplicity. And simplicity doesn't mean stupidity. It means simple faith that doesn't go beyond and doesn't try to break barriers and prove something different. That's what he's saying. It's not brotherism. It's you in your identity and me in mine. Now that in this passage where we're looking here now at the stewardship, one of the problems they had was there were giants there. And there are giants in your experience. I have them too, rascals. You know, I've often thought of David's brothers. You know, he killed all of Goliath's brothers. Man, I wish I could do that. Just kill one of those giants. Now, I don't have a giant or smoking or some vile, filthy, stinking thing like that. And I don't have the, you know, those kind of things. But I do have a wretched nature that I wish I could control better. And he's a giant. I've hit him a few times, but I never got him in the brain yet. That's where I got to get him. That's what's got to be done. But you have those giants, and so do dear sisters. And that's what's in our passage here. They're going in there, but God says, go ahead, step your foot on it, and it's yours. God give us grace, brethren. God give us holy boldness to believe our God, the one, pardon me, in whom we put our faith unto salvation. God graciously give me boldness to put my faith in his word day by day, one step at a time, and it's mine for God. And that doesn't mean to say the old boy won't have a brother, because he'll have a brother he'll show up to. But yes, we can get to see that's a stewardship. It's mine to protect. It's mine to cultivate. It's mine to possess for God. Now, let me close. And notice with you these last two very quickly. Yes, I will notice them in 3 minutes. Two pillars setting up two memorials. I love these two pillars. One on dry land, one down in the Jordan. Nobody saw it down there. But God said, make that pillar down there in the Jordan, and when the waters go back, it'll just cover it up. What in the world kind of a testimony would that be when nobody saw it? But what it was a testimony to their remembrance. They passed through there and brought them into the inheritance. You know, that's a good picture of baptism. Because baptism is the confession of what I have come out of and come into. That's what baptism is teaching. I've been put into the death of the Lord Jesus, and I have been brought into the fullness of eternal life. That's a pillar of testimony. And so I live that. The other one is on dry ground where everybody can see it. And the people and children are going to say, what are those 12 stones for anyway? Well, my appreciation of that pillar is the Lord's Supper. That's the way I'm going to look at it with you. Because I think what the point being made is, the testimony was not God brought us up out of Egypt. God brought the ark through the Jordan. It's all about the ark. And the ark was their savior. The ark was the one who went before them and brought them into the deliverance. That's the testimony of the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's death that we declare until he come. And last of all, we have two breads. One is the manna. That's for the wilderness experiences. That's the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, yes. But let me point this out to you, brethren. It's the Lord Jesus in incarnation. In other words, it's realizing he was tested as a man, just as you are tested, and I am tested. Apart from sin, he had sinful men test him. He had Satan test him. You have, and so have I. But the corn of the land is the Lord Jesus in the epistles. Because you see, the Lord Jesus in the epistles, brethren, is the one who occupies our inheritance. And that's where they were to enjoy that, in their inheritance. Enjoy the Lord Jesus in his glories in heaven. See, when I eat the manna, I'm looking at how the Lord Jesus would act as my brethren were bringing before us when he met people that made fun of him. How did he act? And when people contradicted him, how did he act? And brethren, that's practical. Dear sisters, that's how you're going to show your identity. And meet also with you, beloved brethren. That's how we're going to show our identity, is our likeness to the manners of the Lord Jesus when we are tested. But when I feed upon the corn of the land, that's enriching me in my inheritance. That's getting me an understanding and a grasp of what it means to be in the church, the body of Christ, and to be in the church of a local testimony. That's where I feed upon the Lord Jesus, in his claims and in his purposes and in the honor that's mine to speak his name, to represent his truth. God help us, beloved. And these simple thoughts of these double cases in regard to salvation, I hope that you will see the moment you were saved, you were brought into, and I'm going to call it, an immeasurable honor that you should be a cleansed leper, a worshiper, that you should be a testimony, a pillar, and occupied with testimony for him, and as well that you will learn to feed upon manna for experience and upon the corn of the land for inheritance. That's being intelligent in divine doctrines and in divine truth that is ours both now and forever. May the Lord graciously bless his word for his name's sake.